This essay is called Waiting for My Turn by Reginald Sinclair Lewis. Some of us have read and seen local or national news reports about the brilliant behind-the-scenes work of innocent projects that led to the exoneration of countless men and women who spent years and even decades in prison for crimes they did not commit. We've seen the gaggle of television news reporters swarm the prison gates as newly freed prisoners. Faces beam with joyous smiles, walk proudly into the waiting arms of their loved ones. The scenes are deeply moving. After four long, harrowing decades behind bars for a murder I did not commit, I contacted law professor and attorney Aurora L. Randolph, University of Denver Storm College of Law, and also sought assistance from the critically acclaimed law students at the Innocent Project in Illinois. But the attempts to reach out to me were aborted by the racist, fascist prison administration, utilizing advanced Orwellian technology as well as pretextual reasons to illegally restrict, obstruct, and reject their confidential legal mail. Perhaps this time, they get to hear my story. On September 11th, 1983, I was housed on G Block in Old Holmesburg Prison in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That evening, I was approached by a convicted rapist, violent gang leader, and prison drug dealer named Michael Tang Hawkins. He was high on meth and angel dust. You see, I was a jailhouse lawyer, and he needed my help to beat a case. A few days earlier, he broke a young white inmate's jaw while attempting to rape him. Creep. I told him I didn't want to get involved and blatantly refused to legally assist him. Hawkins got angry, sucker punched me, then, armed with two shanks, stabbed me in the neck, chest, and the right arm. A riot erupted. The record shows that 50 or more inmates, some armed with weapons, began chasing Hawkins down the long block towards the front gate, yelling, "Get that MF! Kill him!" The investigative police report also shows Philadelphia homicide detective detained two unnamed armed suspects at the scene, but they were quickly released. Severely wounded, I was charged and arrested for the murder. The Philadelphia District Attorney's Office assigned the case to notorious Philly prosecutor Roger King, widely known for framing mostly poor African-American defendants with the most egregious prosecutorial misconduct. Forensic evidence showed the victim suffered a total of four stab wounds of different measurements. At trial, the medical examiner testified it was possible another prisoner could have inflicted the fatal blow. On the night in question, and when his memory was most fresh, Correctional Officer Leroy Randolph gave a sworn statement to the police that he had a clear view of the incident from the rotunda. The decedent was surrounded at the front gate, he stated, and he saw that he was already bleeding profusely from a large gaping wound to the chest well before I came into view. At trial, however, he was the state's star witness who conveniently changed his testimony. You see, this corrupt prison guard had been arrested and indicted for drug dealing on the prison's premises. But the judge would not allow the defense to impeach his credibility, mention the charge to the jury, or question this biased witness about any favorable treatment he may have received in exchange for his damaging testimony. Six inmate witnesses were willing to testify that this sexual predator, violent gang member, and drug dealer met his fate at the hands of someone else. In fact, 40 years later, these same inmate witnesses have proffered sworn affidavits positively identifying another prisoner the actual killer. But the gatekeepers of the overwhelmingly white male patriarchal judiciary keeps assigning my case to proxy star chamber judges with a personal racial animus and a predisposition to rule against me, such as Philadelphia Court of Common Pleas Judge Scott DiClaudio, who's been brought up four times before the disciplinary board.
From SCI, Phoenix State Correctional Institution.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
Such as Philadelphia Court of Common Pleas Judge Scott DiClaudio, who's been brought up four times before the disciplinary board of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court for his unethical conduct. This corrupt judge refuses to recuse himself from my appeals, even though he was fiercely opposed by the Pennsylvania Bar Association as being unqualified for a seat on the bench. And so I'm still waiting for my turn. For more information, see Commonwealth of Pennsylvania versus Reginald Lewis. File number CP51CR113611-1983. Case number 960EDA in the Superior Court of Pennsylvania. Please visit Reginald Sinclair Lewis on Facebook and Instagram. And you can also donate to my defense fund at Cash App, RSL Defense.
These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.